Welcome to Bropostles episode 10, the Catholic comedy advice podcast for people who take their faith seriously but not themselves. I'm Ethan.
And I'm Patrick, and I'm kind of sad today.
Why?
We had a great day. We went to the Kennedy Space Center.
Yeah, I saw that picture of you next to Uranus.
Yeah,
usually I just get one of those pictures, but today I got both.
I stood next to my wife and was like, hey, Uranus is huge. I just kind of stared at her, and she was like, yeah, no, it's pretty big. Yeah, Patrick, I got it. I'm just kind of still staring at her. And
that was funny. I liked it. I liked what someone in the Discord said. You posted a picture of you in front of Uranus, and someone in our Discord said, this is the type of picture someone would have in their locket when they went off to war, and they would look at before they leapt over the trench.
One of the funny, a friend of mine in high school, they did like a back to school like video for their YouTube channel, and these guys were typically not extremely funny, but they got out of their dad's minivan to the sound of like Vietnam choppers,
which
thought was pretty funny first off, and then he jumps down and he pulls a locket out of his chest, and he opens it and it's a picture of me, and he kisses it and he puts it back.
That's pretty good.
It was really funny.
I like that. I might just do that.
I've been in a locket before, so I have experience.
Yeah.
But we were with Leo. He loves space now. He's a big fan. And we're going down this big slide. It was a space themed slide. And we got videos of it, and there were obviously videos of me. And so I've been working out recently. Mm-hmm. I've been losing
good.
A little bit of weight.
Yes.
Thank you. Do you mean that? Or are you just saying?
Well, I only ever see you kind of from the belly button.
That's kind
of
so fair.
Add on the legs, it could add on a significant amount of heft that you
the legs
see.
Are actually what I wanted to talk about. So I was wearing shorts, and
oh, no.
I got the video was taken. I saw the video and I saw my legs from the back kind of for the first time.
Dude.
And there is. It sucked. The problem was it wasn't so much I've kind of been coming to the conclusion that I'm never going to be smaller.
Sure.
Like my arms are just this big.
Yeah,
like
you're just bigger.
I'm just large.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at my legs and there's like no fat on my calves.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like looking at them like, oh, that's what they're going to look like forever. And they're just gigantic and white. And I said to my wife, they look like, have you ever seen a beluga whale?
Yeah.
That's kind of what my legs look like. Like the weird big lump on the head.
Yeah.
And then just So that's what I look like. And I'm just going to look like that forever. And I've just kind of been coming to grips with that reality. So that's how I've been doing.
Yeah, it's hard getting older and less active. I just talked about this today of my game plan with my wife, because everything's got to change. Because I'm at the point where, because I've talked about my gains in weight, you know, I've gone from like 160 to 180 over the last like 2 years. It's been a very slow process, right?
Pure muscle, I'm sure.
I have gained muscle in that period of time, but I've also gained a little bit around the middle. So I'm at the point where I'm like bending over and like parts of my skin are touching other parts of my skin that I've never touched before, because there's like extra fat folding. And I'm like, this cannot go on. I cannot keep having new experiences of realizations that I'm seeing new shadows. Shirts are falling on my body in strange ways. I can't wear certain shirts anymore because they're too tight.
Ooh, that sucks.
It's not fun at all. So I just have to, I got to get out there. I got to get.
It's
now that
fun
my back
when your
is
arms. It's fun when your sleeves don't fit anymore. That's
nice. Your arms get bigger. That's fun. But then it's just all this around here. It's not good.
That's
it's not good.
Good. You're getting skinny fat, as the kids say.
Yeah, it's not a dad bod if you're skinny. It's only a dad bod if you're like a big guy, which I'm not.
I thought I might be getting to skinny fat, but I realized I'll never be skinny fat.
That's okay. Honestly, being skinny is kind of a curse, because everyone always thinks you're a kid. Like everyone always I went to a place the other day because our power was out for 30 hours this week. And I went to a place to work, and I was with my buddy, and he rents there. And I was talking to the guy that like runs the property management company that works out of the place. And I was telling about how the power was out and like our water heater broke. We got a new water heater today and like the AC has gone out. And he's like, and he was explaining to me how to be a good tenant. And I stopped him and I was like, I'm 29. Like, I've rented house. Like, I don't understand why you think you feel the need to explain to me what I need to do with my landlord. And I was being very funny about it. Like, I was not mean to him.
I've lived on my own for a decade.
But he was like, he was mansplaining to me. And I was like, I'm almost 30. I have children. Like, I don't know. I think I just I have a way about me that makes people think that they can just, you know, I need to look older somehow. And maybe I just need to keep getting large. Maybe if I just let the gut grow out, and if I'm shaped like Vector from Despicable Me, maybe people will start to take me seriously.
I just want to point out one thing real quick.
Sure.
Just what you said after me going like, oh man, it's hard being fat. You're like, yeah, man, it's hard being skinny. Reminds me of my principal in elementary school, when I was like lashing out at people for bullying me about being fat and therefore getting in trouble because I was the second kid that hit. You know, that's how, don't ever be the second kid that hits. Always be the first.
Yes.
if you got to be. But I was.
This
in the
is good for American foreign policy as well, for people to implement preemptive strikes.
It's great.
No good.
I just couldn't let Noah Rodriguez get nukes. That's why I hit him. I couldn't.
We vaporized two cities because they bombed one airbase.
I heard someone say the reason why we bombed two was because we weren't sure if we needed a contingency in case one of the bombs didn't work. And then I found out that we bombed them like within weeks. Like it was significant time had passed.
Yeah.
And I believe we made our point.
Yeah. But nobody is like mad at, everyone's still mad about the Gulf War and the preemptive strikes, whatever. But nobody's mad about vaporizing entire bone structures of human beings.
No, in fact,
all because they just bombed first. That's all they did. They just did a little kamikaze, and so we can nuke them and it's fine.
We can nuke them. And people will get legitimately upset with you if you up, hey, maybe the preemptive maybe the nuclear bomb was not the best way to go. And they go, oh no, he racked his brain. Like, no, Truman super didn't. He was like, oh, we get to test this. Hell yeah.
Bing bong.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
if you give a president a button, they will push it. It doesn't matter what it does.
So I was in the office and I'm like in fourth grade and I'm being bullied for being fat. And the principal's message was basically, well, when I was a kid, I was bullied for being too skinny. So, you know, we all have problems. I was like, man, that's not the way you handle that situation.
Yeah. It'd be funny if he brought you in and he was like, listen, I make $40,000 a year.
I do not care about
this. I need you to get it
this
together.
This is not where I
need you
to
get it together, or I am going to postal on this building tomorrow.
Hey, 40K in 2009 isn't bad. You could buy half a house with that.
That's true. That's true. Depends on, I mean, it's all about the time in the market, not your timing in the market. You know what they say.
Yeah, exactly. That is what they say. Well, enough about our bodily woes as our mortal frames continue to age and decay.
Yes.
Let's get into stuff. That's not what the people are here for. The people are here for questions. And if you have a question, you can send it to Ethan@broapostles.com. But before you do that, make sure to like and subscribe to this YouTube channel or podcast episode, as the case may be. We're Broapostles. That's where you can find us on YouTube and on everywhere you get your podcasts. If you're in the car and you're like, I want to listen to that YouTube channel, don't watch on while you're driving. All right, first question. Hello, gentlemen. I hope you are thriving. We're not. I've got more of a musing than a question, so if it's too long to read, don't worry. All right, I'll kind of condense it and keep it anonymous. I graduated college a year ago. I'm struggling to experience the present and set up my future. I think this is partly because of the habit of laziness I've developed. Leaves me in limbo. It's weird. I know what steps I need to take, but I find myself continuing to lie in bed and watch YouTube videos. Make sure to like and subscribe. It is a simple decision between taking that step forward or toward the better version of me or stay standing still. I think I'm addicted to standing still. That's what I choose to do every day. How do I conquer daily struggles to begin? Am I too reliant on myself? Do I need to trust God more? My baseline needs are being met. I'm privileged with a strong Catholic family, great job, next to no responsibilities. My relationship with God has its ups and downs. There are so many things I want to pursue: learning the piano, traveling, run a triathlon, write a book, etc. I want to be the guy who's done those things now, not in 10 years. I know I'm young, but there's plenty of time. Maybe that's because I have this instant gratification desire and all this. So after all that, I'm not necessarily asking what I should do, but wondering why I'm at a pause of what to do. Thank you for all your time and reading the podcast and listening to me and reading this on the podcast. Thanks. Anonymous.
I feel this.
Yeah.
I was literally maybe an hour and a half
literally
ago when I was at the burger restaurant eating my birthday burger, talking to my wife about this exact thing. I feel like over the last 2 years, I've been very stagnant in my life in a lot of respects, in business, in my faith life, in my physical health life, as we spoke about briefly, in my relationship with my family, you know, my relationship with my friends, all of it has felt very stagnant. And I struggle with a lot of the same things: laziness, YouTube video, procrastination. I mean, I could have written this, right? And just add on like having a wife and kids and a podcast, and like, this is me. I think, I don't know. I'd be interested in your thoughts, Patrick, because I see you as someone who does not struggle with laziness and procrastination, because you're always working hard and you're always like too busy to answer my texts, and like you have friends that are cooler than me that you like to hang out with and talk to.
But you can't have friends because your power goes out and then you got to record on the podcast when you have to move the podcast recording. Yeah,
exactly. So maybe this is just my perception, but I feel like I have all the best intentions. You know, I'm going to work hard today. I'm going to get things done. I'm going to do this tonight after my wife and my kids go to bed. And then I'm like, Transformers 2007 is a great movie and I should rewatch it right now. And I rewatch it, and that movie actually is great. Like, if you kind of, it takes you back to being a teenager and you're like, whoa, the Autobots are awesome. You know, that's nobody talks about that as adults. And then the whole day, a night goes by and I'm like, well, I'm no closer to the things I really want in my life, but I did just enjoy a great Michael Bay film. I think a lot of it comes from not knowing exactly the next step to take to get to where I want to go. I think when I have a big question mark in my mind, like a lot of things around the podcast, we don't really know. Patrick and I don't really know how to grow the show beyond what we've grown it to, or else we would have done it. You know, so that's like we spend hours talking to each other, thinking of things, trying things to make more money, to make the show bigger. And we're like limited by our time and our energy and our resources. But most of all, we're limited by like lack of knowledge. Like, what are the highest leverage things we could do every single week to grow? Mm-hmm. And that's true in business. It's true with our families. It's true with our faith. And so I think it comes from indecision because you don't know what to do. And so the easiest thing then at that point is to watch a YouTube video, because at least you know that you'll get some type of happiness out of it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's why you're experiencing what you're experiencing.
A lot of it is an identity thing. Like in your question, for me at least, you know, it's like, I'm the type of person that gets up and prays, or I'm the type of person that works out at X time, or I'm the type of person that does it. Like, It's every time you do it, it's a vote for that identity. Every time you don't do it, it's a vote for the other identity. And so, you know, if you're if you already have all of these votes in for the opposing party of, I'm the type of person that sits in bed and watches YouTube videos. But for me, like, there's a momentum when so for example, I want to start my job at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's when I find is the most fruitful time to, I have a sales job, so setting up meetings, that's the most fruitful time that business owners are active and ready to schedule things on their calendar. And so, you know, I'm on a streak a couple months ago of like, I'm up and I'm at my office and I'm sitting down at 8:30 and I'm calling, and then I'm done by 9:30 and it's great. And then now I'm the type of person that doesn't, I mean, and then that momentum has already been built and I'm just like, okay, what's the next productive thing that I can do? I've done my hour of phone calls. I've gotten my appointments. What's the next thing? If I'm the other part of me is the part of me that's like, I could start dialing later. I either dial 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock. It's like, there's very rarely an in between, sometimes even 11. And on those days, it's like, I'm checking Twitter. I'm, you know, checking the Stripe account. I'm like, I want to feel like I'm progressing. I'm not doing the thing that I know I should be doing to achieve the things that I want to do.
Yes.
And so it's, you got to have like some kind of concrete thing, because the, the phone calls and the phone calls at 8 o'clock is a thing that's tangible that I can do to get to the bigger goal, which is actually an income goal. Like, you know, it's a brick in the wall of building the house that I want to build. But you've listed these amazing things. Like, I want to write a book. I want to travel the world. There are little things that you can do daily that add up to the kind of person who writes a book. And it's not always like the same thing. You know, I want to get up every day and start working on my book at 8 o'clock. There's going to be different, you know, activities within that. It's not just going to be, I'm going to write 2000 words. It's, you know, that can, especially for writing a book, that's not exactly what you want to do. You don't want to just write haphazardly. But that might be the thing, you know, that might be the thing. Or, you know, I want to travel the world. I'm going to get up and I'm going to, you know, for 30 minutes, I'm going to plan my trip. So I have this list of tasks I need to do. I'm just going to execute on these tasks. There's several different things that I see, like the votes thing, the insurmountability of the task. So you're like, I want to travel the world. So your two options are watch a YouTube video or travel the world right now.
Yeah.
Or write a book. You know, those are your brain is that's the options you're putting in front of your brain. And your brain is a decision-making machine.
Yes.
It was built to make decisions that are like, okay, well, if those are the two options, and I can tell that the happiness of traveling the world right now would be amazing, but I also see that that's unrealistic. And so I see that we can at least get something out of the watching a YouTube video, so we're going to watch a YouTube video. Yeah. So you've kind of, your brain, you're trying to treat your brain like it's something that it's not. You're putting a faulty decision in front of it, and you're obviously choosing the one that's more realistic. So make something as realistic as watch a YouTube video. It's like research places to go that are nearby, or
watch YouTube videos about playing piano,
about how to travel.
Yeah. You know, it's there's no, here's the real, right? It's like, there's no hack. There's no book. There's nothing that can solve this. The problem.
Just reread Atomic Habits over and over again until you die, and then you'll be happy.
The problem that you're experiencing is this modern day malaise where we really have all of the numbing entertainment, not even entertainment. It's cause Twitter and YouTube and all these things are not, it's just distraction. And it's been talked about ad nauseum, so I'm not going to go into it here, but you have everything you need to, on the surface, feel fulfilled. Like in the moment you're something in your brain gets bypassed and you feel the same emotion that you ought to feel after accomplishing a hard task or creating something or whatever. Like you get that in the moment while you're watching the thing or while you're consuming the thing. I don't know the scientific explanation. I'm not Dr. Andrew Philanderer Huberman. Okay. I'm just at Catholic Ethan on X. So the hard part is being able to have the willpower to say to yourself, I don't want the cheap version of fulfillment. I want the real version of fulfillment. And then working backwards and thinking, what choices can I make to get there?
Yeah.
And this is like a problem of the human spirit that our entire age is dealing with. This is not like just you. So
a rule I've been thinking of recently that I think applies to spiritual life. And I think it applies to phones. And I think it applies I think it applies to women.
Away after 10 PM.
The razor, it's like a kind of a rule that is
Samsung razor,
the Samsung razor, no, Occam's razor. The detachment, you can't detach. Like detachment is not a positive activity. It doesn't have any weight. You can't just decide to detach from something.
Sure.
Detachment from phones, from sin, from a girl, only comes via attachment to something else.
I see.
It's actually a Dadanista tweet from a while ago that's like, he said,
what's he
it's
up
not
to?
That I don't know. He's still posting. It's not, he said, it's not that when I stop using Twitter, I'm happier. It's when I'm happier, I use Twitter less.
Yeah, that's true.
We oftentimes we confuse the cause for the effect.
Yeah.
We think, oh, if I brick my phone and I delete my Twitter, I will be happy. But it's no, when you achieve happiness, you want these things less. And so, you know, you're looking at the problem and you're like, how do I detach from this problem? You're looking at it from the wrong direction. You're looking at it backwards. It's the detachment is something that comes as a result of the attachment to something else. You have to figure out how to attach yourself to something else. I think what I mentioned of, you know, break the task down, make them more manageable, make it more attractive. Find out what motivates you. Are you motivated by ticking things off a list? I know I am. All right. Oh, boy. I'm the kind of guy who will write something down on his to-do list that I already did so I can cross it off.
Because Patrick texted me something to, he was like, I need you to do this. And then I was like, all right, I'll open up my window machine and I'm going to do it now. And he already did it. And I was like, wait a minute.
I texted him a to-do list that I was going to do. Because I know at the end of the day, when I look at my to-do list, I'm like, oh, look at all those things I did today. You know, it's going to give me that dopamine hit of, oh, I was a productive person. Anyway, so that's the, find out what motivates you. That's also something that's helpful. What are you looking for in the YouTube video, man?
I also think being surrounded by good people, like being surrounded by people who want the sit. Like if you're surrounded by a bunch of people who also want to learn piano and are doing it together, it's way easier to accomplish that.
Absolutely.
You're running a triathlon. Surely there's a running a triathlon community in your local area that you can meet up with that will help you achieve the goal. Because there's a built-in level of accountability through community and friendship. So no man is an island. And I think it sounds like you're just kind of on your own after college trying to do this all by yourself. Well, that's famously hard. Not going to work. So that'd be my other point.
Sweet. Well, I hope that helped. I hope that helped everybody.
This is really hard. This is not going to be easy, but you're going to do great. And we're all going to do great. And this is my 30th year of life starting today. And from this day forth, I will not be a victim of the woke mind virus. I will live on my own terms. Gosh,
it's especially hard. It's especially hard. You're also in the first year post college, which is difficult because it's the first year where your year was not planned out.
Yeah.
For you. You know, so that's also tough. You're in a tough spot.
Yeah.
And even that, you know, anyway. Okay. Next question. Hey guys, for as long as I can remember, I have indulged in vulgar rap hip hop during my workouts. Lately, Chance the Rapper's Acid Rap album has been my main go-to throwback.
I know.
That's a long time ago. I have found that I don't tend to contemplate the lyrics much. I find the melody, beats, and bass to be entertaining and motivating. Is this okay or is it sinful? What do you think?
Well, if you recall, our second episode ever was Would Padre Pio Listen to Lil Wayne? And so,
really, was it that?
Yes. So maybe we need to update this to Would Pier Giorgio Frassati Listen to Chance the Rapper?
Chance the Rapper.
I think without a doubt, no, because Chance the Rapper sucks.
I liked, I forgot the album name.
Coloring Book.
Coloring Book. I liked Coloring Book.
Yeah. You would. Yeah. It was the Chance the Rapper Coloring Book was like the fake gospel rap album that all of the Protestant girls listened to in 2016 or whenever it came out. I mean, can we talk about your Chance the Rapper?
I didn't like acid rap.
There's so much else out there. Did you see Sarah Rogers' tweet about her mom?
Her mom praying for
XXX Temptation or whatever his name is.
I
don't know how to say it either, but he died and she found her mom's like mass intention and it was whatever his real name was. And I said, no way, that's so crazy. And she said, yeah, she has a running list and she prays for anyone she's ever heard has died. And so she must have just
The world is run. The world is saved by those
yes.
women.
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
Type of lady.
So I think you should listen to him. XXX Tentacion.
Tentacion. He's in summer. He's in heaven. I don't know why I said summer.
Summer is heaven. I don't know. I listen to some pretty aggressive music when I'm trying to get things done, when I'm trying to focus, that has some swears and some aggressive language. I don't know. I don't think it matters too much. It's like, what is the, we've gone back and forth. I think we've had both sides of this issue over the last 9 years.
Have you noticed how when you listen to these songs, you think differently? That's not accidental.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were talking about the people you surround yourself with, you are your thoughts are the summary of the albums that you're listening to right now. Like that's just music. Music is music. It bypasses your rational faculties. It bypasses your reason. It embeds itself into you, and it kind of becomes like your interior soundtrack. And so, like, I know this for a fact because my son just walks around singing, "The Lord is kind and merciful." And it's like, would you rather him sing that or Baby Got Back? You know, like, what would you prefer?
Peter runs around. And he's on the six little ducks that I once knew, fat ones, skinny ones, round ones too. With the one little duck with the feather on his back, he led the others with a quack quack quack. We're hitting that. Seven, eight times an hour at this point.
That's great.
It is all the time. But that's what's on his mind is ducks, just constantly, and that informs what he thinks about.
I've found that when you go away from that music for a while and then you come back to it, you're like, oh geez, oh wow, yikes, that's disgusting. You know, you like you desensitize to it, so you can see the desensitization happen when you're like, oh wow, he's talking. That's an interesting. I've never considered talking about woman's reproductive organ like that before. Never crossed my mind ever. You know, and then you're like, probably shouldn't listen to that ever again.
Yeah, it's hard because all of the different. I mean, Chance the Rapper makes you Protestant. Kendrick Lamar makes you a liberal. Drake makes you gay. Like any rapper that you listen to has an effect on your life, you know?
Yes.
And so I think there's a lot to be said about the artistic value. I think if you're going to listen to something, here's my stance. I think it's like movies, right? I think you can watch a movie that has violence or sex or any other type of thing in it that would in a normal context be like, what? I shouldn't watch this, but if you're watching it as an intentional experience of some type of art, then I think it can be permissible. I think the same thing with music. If you want to sit down and you want to listen to Chance the Rapper's album as like an artistic experience, I think that's fine because you're evaluating it critically and you're thinking about it and you're actually engaging with the themes and the lyrics, and you can consciously hear something and say, well, I don't agree with that. Why did he say it that way? Oh, because he rhymed it with this, and it's actually part of a bigger story. And if you just take the line, it sounds really vulgar, but he's actually telling a story about redemption or whatever, right? Like you can map it out in that way. Sure. But I think if you're just passively listening to something because it emotionally pumps you up, that's probably like a very low form of engaging with music.
You're the point of it is for it to be in the background of your mind, and you don't want it to be in the background of your mind. You want to engage with it. Music isn't like, you know, it's not hypnotic. It's not
some music is.
Some music is hypnotic.
Some music is. You get on the tech house playlist.
That new Will Smith song.
It's Every Day, Bro by Jake Paul. I mean, all kinds of music.
I referenced that at my talk at Catholic Family Land, and no one laughed, and I said, good. That's good. I'm glad that's done.
Yeah, none of those kids watched Bizardvark back in the day.
None of those kids watched Bizardvark. The funniest story I heard about the Paul brothers was when Jake Paul was going out for the Disney Channel show Bizardvark. His name in the show was Dirk. And Logan Paul was trying to hype him up.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at him and he said, "You come back as Dirk or you come back on your shield." I'm like, man, that's a really funny way to talk about a Disney Channel show. Greek heroes would come back dead on their shields.
Yeah.
I
got it. That's really funny. That's just a really funny thing for Logan Paul to say.
Like, I know.
Either get cast in this Disney show or you need to die. Like, that's the only reason.
Or die.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Have you tried listening to Catholic Comedy Advice podcasts during your workout sessions?
Have you tried listening to Catholic Lo-Fi?
I think if you need music to amp you up, you're not lifting enough.
I think you need to take get back in the time machine, go back to 2017 and put on some Christmas Trap remixes. Remember that? That was fun. The year we all did Christmas Trap remixes. You hated it. I loved it.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
It's because I listened to real trap music.
It's like blackface. You're like, wow, this is just there's something.
Damn, wrong. Son. Where'd you find this? Do you remember that?
No.
You don't know. Only real ones know. Only real ones listen to Diplo BBC Radio 1 mixes in 2013 before he was a big deal. Before he had a house in Jamaica made out of concrete where he makes all of his beats. I saw his Architectural Digest video of Diplo's house.
In Jamaica.
It's gross. It's the ugliest house I've ever seen in my life. Let's do another question. Let's keep the party rocking.
All right, we got a Pride Month question. Is it okay to tolerate celebration of Pride Month? I understand the church's position is to love the sinner and hate the sin, but how do we express that when having conversations with people who want you to celebrate Pride? To clarify, most of my interactions on this topic are happening online through Discord and such. Anyway, love the podcast. Please don't prune me. And happy month of the Sacred Heart. Did we prune people?
Yeah, we pruned the Discord server.
Oh, that's right. We pruned the Discord server. I remember that.
What is it? I don't understand the question. What does tolerate the celebration of Pride Month mean? Like,
I certainly tolerate it.
Yeah, I mean, you have
to. The opposite would be to like declare jihad on it and just, you know.
My next door neighbors have the number of trans pride flags have multiplied in the last couple of weeks.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know they could do that. I didn't know they could.
That's true. Normally they.
I thought they had kind of removed that faculty from themselves.
Yes. They had one like tiny one, you know, that goes in like a garden that like hangs, you know, over. And sure. Then they got in the next day, they got a big one that hangs out right next to the front door. And then the day after that, they got a bunch of sticking out of like their flower pots on the front, just tiny little.
Oh my gosh.
I know, it's crazy. They took the time when the power went out, there was this huge storm. They took the time to like take the big one down and like lean it against the door. And then the next morning it was back up. Like
they had a repose ceremony for the flag.
Yeah. Yeah. Changing of the guard, changing of the colors. The Boy Scout troop came out. Excuse me, the Scout troop came out.
The Scouting America came out to do the apt.
Scouting is dead. J.D. Flynn, this is a public invitation to come on the podcast and debate us about the Boy Scouts of America.
Boy Scouts is fine.
I think that you should always abide by truth, and you should never deny truth, ever. That just looks different in different situations. So I like to be a chameleon. When I'm with someone who I know is like a mega trad who hated Pope Francis and loves the Latin Mass, I play up my traditional sensibilities, but I never contradict anything that I know or believe to be true. The same thing if I'm talking to like a Jesuit that thinks Laudato Si is like the greatest thing that's ever been written. You know, now I'm like the environment, we're just not taking care of the environment. You know, like I go the other way. So I think it's the same thing with this. It's like,
which by the way, Jose Maria Escriva, that's what he did too. He was a priest during the Spanish Civil War. Fact check me on that. And he was Opus Dei. There were people that were Republicans and fascists, or whatever the two sides were. And those are also the two sides in America. And he would just agree with you, whatever you said. He was like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. As long as it's not like a, you know, I think that transgender is good and a positive force for America. Like you can't say like, yes, you're right. But if someone says something like, you know, we need to love gay people. Totally. I agree. Yeah. Gay people should be allowed to love. I agree with that too. Actually, I do think they should be allowed to love.
Hey, well, hey, you there, stop loving.
Like why? I don't understand the need. I think a lot of it is wrong and nasty, and I'm like not going to go support a business that has a rainbow flag hanging in the window, you know, because I think that's you should do that as a Christian. But if someone is like having a conversation with me, I'm not going to get into an argument for no reason.
I'm not going to start one.
Yeah. Like,
you know? I'm not going to preemptively strike the argument.
Because think about it. There's two options. Option one, you get into a huge fight with someone because you're like, well, technically, the Catholic Church and the Catechism says that marriage is between a man and a woman. But, you know, and then you do that whole thing. And then and then you never talk to that person ever again. And they hate you because they know that you're Catholic. And they know you disagree with them. Or you have a lovely conversation with them. They feel respected. You never betray the truth in that conversation. And then later they find out that you're Catholic and they go, huh, interesting.
And they have more conversations with you.
Or other people that they know that are Catholic.
Yeah.
So I think it's all a long game. Good. I think you can have short-term wins that make you feel good and make you feel like you've stood up against the evil demonic powers of that. Like that's,
but you've lost the war.
But you've lost the war. We're all playing the long game here, you know, because we've already won. And so, and to your point earlier, it's not like this ideology is going to last another generation. So
you don't have to worry.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry that much longer. I don't think.
It's kind of like a there, you know, you guys like, keep doing what you're doing. Talk to me again in 30 years and we'll see where you're at.
I think what's it's already dying, and the transgenderism thing kind of jumped the shark, and the right is spiking the ball. Like they smell blood in the water and they're not letting it go. They're gonna ban transgender surgeries for everybody in like 4 years. I guarantee it. People are just fed up.
This could just be my perception anecdotally, but I feel like this Pride Month is way less like last year. Do you remember the Target thing last year where everyone was boycotting Target? Because the artist that they hired made some legitimately demonic artwork that was a part of the Target Pride Month run. This year, the Target Pride Month stuff is like, it just looks like stuff that theater kids wear, you know, like it's not anything, exactly. It's nothing crazy.
They're trying to retreat back to the safety of 2012.
Yeah.
And we're not letting them. We're going after the whole thing. Because most of the country, did tolerate Pride Month. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Most of the country was like, most of the country are functional libertarians. And just, whatever, don't involve me.
As long as the government stays out of my bedroom and my bank account, I'm fine with whatever you want to do.
Go ahead. You want to get married, whatever. I hate my wife. You can get married. You know, that's most of the country. They don't really care about marriage either.
Hey, you can marry whoever you like. Is the Masked Singer on at 7 tonight or at 8?
That's most of the country. And so you can...
I want Rudy Giuliani on the Masked Singer again. Please.
But now, was he really?
He was on the mess. He sang Bad to the Bone.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But once the transing the kids thing happened, I think everyone was like, wait, hold on. That's not okay. And then the majority of the country, like there have been polls done that issue alone, if people know that a senator or a congressman or whatever voted in that direction for transgender surgeries, they are like, I think 30% more likely to lose the election because people are that dialed into that issue. The whole LGBT thing, I think it's getting close. So that's one thing is if you meet someone who has that opinion, have that conversation in that way. But also, I think you just got to worry about that for the next couple of years, maybe.
I mean, once JD Vance wins the election in 2028 and then 2032, and then Barron Trump wins the election in 2036, and then his 1,000-year reign begins because he gets implanted with Neuralink, we will be fine. You don't have to worry about anything.
Barron Trump does look a little bit like Napoleon III, I think. I think Napoleon III comparison.
Paul Muad'Dib Atreides. I mean, whoever you want to compare him to.
Never mind. He doesn't even kind of look like Napoleon III. I don't know what I was talking about. Napoleon III looks like he looks like Nietzsche with Salvador Dali kind of mixed together.
Hmm.
Check that guy out. Anyway, so that's our opinion on that. Next question.
Yes.
Missionary dating.
Not till marriage, actually, guys. Sorry.
I have a really bad joke that you might want to skip forward if you have kids in the car. Oh. So I saw a former missionary group that I worked with was advertising on Indeed. And they like Indeed had a basically a function where they had like they had the job title and like whether it was full-time or part-time, it was like full-time or part-time, then the job title was missionary, and the word at the end was position.
Oh no.
And so the title of the job read full-time missionary position.
Come on.
Screenshot, and I sent it to my friend who worked there. I said, sounds exhausting.
And it does sound exhausting. What are we doing, guys?
That was a funny little deal.
You gotta have people pass the middle school test when you do anything.
It wasn't their fault. They just put missionary in the job title.
Yeah.
And Indeed filled in the blanks for them. They didn't realize it was funny. Yes. Anyway. So I have been a missionary with an organization, prefer not to say, not focus, for about a year. During that time, I've become attracted to one of the lady missionaries. I'm 24, she's 22. We would talk casually. I think we both believe we're good friends. We've been called back for a second year of mission, which starts in August. I've considered asking her out this summer, but figured it wouldn't be good because it will cause weird results regardless of her response. Is it a good decision to wait? Should I ask her out this summer? When we go back for a second year of mission, we go back on a dating fast for another 9 months. After that, pretty positive after next mission year, we won't return. So I'm going to try and ask her out after the mission year ends. I just pray she feels the same way. I hope that all made sense. I've spoken with a bunch of my other guy friends and my spiritual director about this. They all think it's prudent to wait. Oh, great. We're going to be the one dissenting opinion.
Yeah. You're thinking way too hard about this. It's all the dating fast is made up.
It's not real.
It's not real. I don't know. I feel like such a bad renegade.
Your spiritual director is an industry plant and he's trying.
I don't want to be like an anti. I think these mission organizations, whatever your SPO or culture project or whatever it is that you're in, I think it's great. I think what you're doing is phenomenal. But
you got to cool it with a dating fast, guys.
You got to realize that like there is a higher. Like your employer can't tell you how to pursue your vocation because they're just your employer. They can make suggestions. And if they want to fire you because you want to go on dates, I just want you to like, think like, is that someone that you want to work for? You know?
Yeah.
Because getting married, if your vocation is how you get married or is how you become a saint rather, then why would anyone want to put impediments between you and the thing that is going to make you a saint, especially in a missionary organization? Now, there are people that are going to disagree with that, and they're going to say, well, the mission at hand is your vocation now. I just think that's just not backed up by anything that the church teaches about mission or vocation.
That's not true, because you're a lay person. And so it's just, if you want, it's just a temporary religious life LARP. Is what it is. It's like
Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, heroes of the civil disobedience movement. And I think Ethan Stevie, I think you two can go sit in at a diner with a beautiful woman and dare them to come drag you out into the street and spray you with a hose.
Just like what happened to Mahatma Gandhi.
I don't know what he did, but I'm sure. I mean, Mahatma Gandhi.
I'm
was
also
like,
pretty sure you're confusing Martin Luther King with the diner guys. And I don't remember what diner it was because it's not
Martin
Black
Luther
History
King encouraged people to peacefully sit in the diners.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Mahatma Gandhi. All I know is that he slept in the bed, same bed as like a 9-year-old so that he could conquer his temptations.
That's
and
crazy.
Then they made a movie about him, and then it won a bunch of awards because everyone was like, wow. But they left out the part about the 9-year-old girl in the bed. All of Hollywood was like, you didn't have sex with the underage girl? No way.
That's insane.
That's crazy. Oscar, 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 Oscar.
So I guess she didn't get to be in a movie then.
Uh-huh. Harvey Weinstein's like, give me that girl's number. She's probably, who is
she's
she?
She's going to be a star.
You're going to be big kid. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Do whatever you want. They're going to try to frame it. I mean, if there's a priest or someone that thinks that this is like bad advice, please let me know. But like, they're going to try to make you feel like you are disobeying God for disobeying the missionary organization. again, that's just not true. It's just not, it's not real. So all that being said, ask the girl out, stop worrying about these arbitrary rules, and deal with the consequences. Like, be a man and just say, listen, I want to pursue my vocation. You guys are in the way. I want to become a saint. I'm going to ask whoever out that I want to ask out, you know, if that is too much for you, that's fine. You know, I'm happy to be here and serve the mission. And I think just like, I think they're so used to people just saying, oh, whatever you want, missionary organization. You know, I think if you're, if you stand up for yourself and you say, I want to do this, but I also want to do this, then they would actually work with you, believe it or not.
It is a strange thing that, yeah, that missionary organizations have this kind of, sway over there. 'Cause it is an employer employee thing. It just is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I get it in some aspects. I think it should be a cultural thing to do, but I just think it should be optional. I think, like, for Focus, for example, it's like most first years go on a dating fast, commit to a dating fast for their first year because of how toxic the dating culture is in college. And it gives people an opportunity to, you know, heal. It gives an opportunity to take a break. It gives an opportunity to focus on this new phase of life. Most people do it. Some don't. Here are the benefits that we think you would receive if you did it, but we're not going to force you. I think so many more people would become missionaries. And I think that it would just be way more of a free and, like, peaceful first year.
And if we open up, you know, so many more people become priests. I'm just,
yes. I do think that priests, I think people saying that more priests would become priests if you could let married people be priests, I think is a dumb, stupid
I'm married
argument.
I would not become a priest. That
more people
awful.
Would become married if you let people have open marriages. Really?
It's dumb and lame. I think, yeah, that, like, but that's the thing, is it's celibacy without a reason, and it's celibacy without a commitment. Mm-hmm. But it's also, it's, I've all the arguments I've heard for the dating fast, the, you know, it gives people time to focus on the mission. Mm. It's like, oh, we want to discourage dating in amongst the organization. None of those are very persuasive to me.
Yes.
Because a lot of, like that is one of the best places to find a potential spouse. It's just not,
sometimes coworkers date. That's just part of the risk of having a multi-gendered workplace. You know,
if you really want a dating fast,
two separate organizations.
Don't let them talk to each other.
Yeah. No, don't let them work together. Mission. Don't put men and women on the same team. Don't put them on the same campus. Don't train them together. If that's really what you want, and then people will sign
then
up for
it
or not, you know, but if it's
then
like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take all the most on fire Catholics, and we're going to put them in close quarters.
In the
quarters,
prime of their life.
In the prime, their peak sexual attractiveness. And we're going to put them in close quarters where they're with each other at long hours, late into the night, early in the morning, every day for
in deeply spiritual and emotionally years, charged
deeply,
conversation.
Yes, yes. And then what we're going to tell them, and this is the funny part, is we're going to tell them that they can't date.
That makes it worse. That makes it harder.
Yeah.
That makes it more difficult.
Question, you know, asker, what you're experiencing is very normal. Yeah. I think that you should not care at all about the effects that it might have one way or the other. I think that you should ask her out and then let her dictate whether or not she goes out with you, not the organization.
Because you're asking literally everybody, and
except the person
who has the most authority.
Yeah, exactly.
To determine whether or not you should date this girl. And
guys will literally ask
months,
20 dudes whether or not to ask a girl out instead of asking the girl
by
out.
By the way, waiting 9 months to ask her is the exact same thing as never asking her.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly. Because those 9 months are going to be 9 months of her dropping signals and you not asking her out. And mm-hmm. so she's not going to see it coming in 9 months at all.
Yep.
So ask her out.
It's the summer. She's probably looking at her watch like, oh, I thought he liked me. I guess he doesn't, is probably what she's thinking.
And then she's going to move on. And then you ask her out and she's already moved on. She's in a different state.
Yep.
State of mind. Anyway, all right.
Yep.
Please ask this girl out. And
please
then,
ask
and
this girl
four,
out.
In
tell
4 years,
us how it goes.
I can't wait to meet the kid.
Yeah.
Because that's what seems to happen every time we give someone dating advice.
It is.
scissor advice question. Need advice. It's a scissor emoji. I think I know where this is going. We had our third child last week. I've been telling people at work. For some reason, every other person thinks this is a good opportunity to tell me about their vasectomy. What is the best response to this? Just say, thanks, but I'm against transgender surgery.
I just hit it with, oh, I didn't know you were gay.
Yeah, right. Or what's a good, what other part of me do you think I should cut off?
Yeah.
Like, what else?
Oh, I was thinking about having the surgery that makes you go blind.
I was thinking of going to the beach that makes you old.
Oh, man. It's just crazy to bring up. I just would be like, we just had our third kid. Oh, that's awesome. I got a vasectomy. I'd be like, I would just stop and be like, so your penis doesn't work anymore, and you're telling me about it right now. Why are you telling me about that?
Do you need an ice pack?
Yeah.
Like, get you some ice.
I would genuinely, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, that's really sad that you made that choice.
Please,
I feel, I would say, I feel bad for you. You know, you can get that reversed.
That's what you should say. Yeah. Oh, you know, you can get that reversed.
Yeah. Just, they can flip it around. You know, they have something for that. They can fix that.
They can fix that.
Oh, this is good. Here's what it's like. Oh, hey, we just had our third kid. Oh, that's awesome. You know, we got a vasectomy a few years ago. Yeah, I got a tattoo back when I was 19. I also regret it. So maybe you can get the tattoo removed. Maybe you can go get the...
I have a logistical question about vasectomy. Is this a safe place? Can I ask this question? Where does it go?
Where does what go?
Where does it go?
They still have the penis. If that's your question.
No. I'm talking about...
they don't become
about
a eunuch.
Imagine, I think this whole time that it's actually just they become... Like, no. They sever the vast difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what connects that's what connects to the penis.
Uh-huh. That's connects what? Connects what to the penis?
The balls. So where does the fluid go?
It'd be like, hey, so you pee out your butt now?
I'm serious. I don't know how it works. I've never looked into it because I would never do that.
Yeah. Myself. So you're wondering, like, where the semen goes.
Do you still... I'm confused. Here's,
so you still in a situation where...
this doesn't feel like a safe place.
It's a family friendly podcast. So... when it happens, there's still liquid. There's just no semen in the liquid.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. That's the most PG way that I can explain. Okay. I guess, no, there is semen. Pardon me. I said that wrong. There's no sperm in the semen. There's still semen.
I see. Yeah. I see. That's a shame. That's how babies are made.
Ryan, you can bleep as much of that as you want or as you think is funny.
Bleep the whole thing.
The whole part of it.
Is this a safe place?
I don't know.
You should cut it at where it seems like I think that it's actually a castration. That's what you should. That's how you respond. You say, oh, I hear Origin did that to himself. That's
yes.
Anyway, the mentioning, I think, final answer, mentioning, oh, you know, I think you can get that reversed is the best way to respond to it.
Either that or so you pee out your butt now are the two
those
best.
Are the two, one or two, depending on how close you are to the person. So you pee out your butt now?
Yeah.
That's funny. I did read a really good New Polity article that was Mark Barnes comparing vasectomies to gender affirming care. It was very funny. It's like the same reason why you're against genital mutilation is should it be the same reason why you're against vasectomies?
Yeah.
I think it's all right. One last question.
We can do a short one. Yeah.
We do a little short one. We already did missionary dating. Relationship question. One last relationship question.
Okay.
Anonymous for the pod. My girlfriend said on the phone last night she's worried we're becoming really good friends. Did we read this one already?
No, I don't think so.
And we laugh a lot, but she's not feeling the romance she expects. Meanwhile, I think of the relationship as this whirlwind, passionate thing with regular dates and deep connection. The gulf between our perceptions of it is freaking me out. We go on dates at least once a week, work out together, taking care of each other in sickness, met each other's family. What more can I do? Got to read the five love languages by Dr. Gary something.
Yeah, this is a weird one. Worried that we're just, this is just a weird thing for a girlfriend to say to a boyfriend.
I feel like we're becoming just really good friends. Do you think that
are you breaking up with me? Like, that would be my first question. Like, is that,
yeah,
is this it?
Do you think it's possible that just like the heat of the initial relate part of the relationship has fizzled out a little bit, and that's just fine because that comes in waves? Do you think that's what it is?
It could be. I mean, the natural fluctuations in a woman's hormones could have an effect on this.
Maybe she's just not ovulating.
Yeah, she's not in heat at the moment.
The initial heat. That's not what I meant by heat.
I think that's part of it, but I mean, even after the initial heat wore off with Emma, like, we still really were romantically interested in each other, you know? So I don't know. I think, again, it's like you're asking everybody except the person that you need to ask about this.
Yeah.
It's just, hey, when you said this, it really freaked me out because I really like you and I like spending time with you. But it sounds like, from what you said, that you don't like me in that way. That's like how I'm reading this. Is that true? And if she says,
ask her,
yeah,
or ask, then, maybe in a little less, maybe in a little less, like, we need to have a conversation, we need to talk.
Yeah,
situation.
Yeah, yeah,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe a better question that doesn't sound like you're putting the relationship on the table is, okay, when do you feel romanticized?
Yeah.
When do you feel romanced? Because it's possible that, I know that the five love languages is like a, it's kind of a cliche, but there's some good insights in there of like people receive love in different ways, but also there's another insight of people show affection in different ways. So some, it's not always like, oh, I'm a physical touch person, so I physical touch, you know, that's not always the case.
Right.
Sometimes the way you show affection, it doesn't match the way this person receives it. And so you're kind of, the analogy is speaking a different language and they're not understanding you. And so you've just listed a bunch of like
quality time, a bunch of
quality time stuff. Maybe she is not, she's not a quality time person.
Have you gotten her chocolates?
Maybe she's a gift person, dude. That's the, I used to think that one was the most shallow. That's the easiest one. Everything's a gift.
Yes.
The gift person will keep all of the gifts.
Yeah, they love it. You can get trinkets. You can get knickknacks.
Doodads, even.
Bric-a-brac. Anything, and she loves it.
It's great. Because it shows you thought about her when you were away. That's,
yeah.
Good. We love that.
Yeah.
And so have that conversation of like, hey, when is a time that you felt really romanced by me? Mm-hmm. And then just do more of that.
Yeah.
Write it down into a checklist and then just do that checklist all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. One time my wife and I, when we were dating, I've discovered that she really appreciated good morning texts. And so I set an automation in my phone to remind me and then to automatically send good morning texts to my wife randomly from a list. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's like it shows affection.
Do you know you can schedule texts in iPhone now?
You can schedule texts in iPhone now, but the way you did it back then was you could have like a shortcut in your phone with at this time prompt me with a random list, send a random message to Phoebe, and I would still have to hit send. But it would like prompt me every morning to like hit send on good morning with an emoji or morning and then another emoji. And so I did that.
Does she know that that's how you did it now?
Yeah, I did have to send the message. It wasn't like a robot sending the message because you couldn't do that. You had to like physically do it. But yes, she does. She does know that. So don't worry. It's not secret privilege information on the pod.
Yeah. So basically, if you want to romance your girl more, just build an automated texting system.
Like a psychopath. That's what you do.
You need to have a Christian Bale.
Listen. Shortcuts had just come out on the iPhone, and I was shortcut happy. All right, I was shortcut happy.
That's
I was
the
doing
biggest
everything.
Surprise that I've ever heard in my life.
I know.
You're gonna do great. Don't stress about it. Just communicate. I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's all about communication.
That's what I've been
doing. That's it for the podcast. I gotta go help my wife help put my son to bed. So I'm gonna leave you with this. Subscribe to our Patreon. We do bonus podcasts every week, and it's a great way to support the show. $10 a month, which may sound like a lot, but it's really just the cost of two coffees at hip liberal coffee shops. And instead of doing that, you could give that to us and we could keep making amazing, entertaining Catholic content that makes Catholicism attractive and understandable to as many
people
as possible.
And our last episode, our last bonus podcast episode, was the best bonus podcast episode we've done.
Of all time.
Maybe ever, of all time.
Yes.
So if you want that one, $10 a month, you can do it this month and then cancel. That's an option. I don't care if you just want that one. But yeah, cup of coffee for me and Ethan every month. And that's, if you like the show and think it's worth that, please do. Patreon.com/broapostles.
That's it for today's episode. We love you. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.